Hi, and welcome to our broadcast. We are getting into the Thursday after Epiphany readings for this Christmas season that's slowly winding down because it is January 10th, 2019. And I do want to thank you for stopping by and giving a listen to our little podcast. We're still kind of going through these Christmas readings because we still have a few more days of the Christmas season by the liturgical calendar. And so we're going to continue these through. We've got basically four more days of Christmas: today, tomorrow, the next day, and Sunday, which is the baptism of the Lord. And as we've been doing through Advent and this Christmas season so far, we're going to do the readings from today's Mass reading, and then go with the office of reading, second reading, as far as the liturgical readings are concerned. And then I will give my commentary on those so that hopefully you get a little benefit from them all the way around. So for our first reading, we're continuing the readings from the first letter of St. John. Beloved, we love God because he first loved us. If anyone says, I love God, but hates his brother, he is a liar. For whoever does not love a brother whom he has seen cannot love God whom he has not seen. This is the commandment we have from him. Whoever loves God must love his brother. Everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten by God. And everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. In this way we know that we love the children of God when we love God and obey his commandments. For the love of God is this, that we keep his commandments. And his commandments are not burdensome. For whoever is begotten of God conquers the world, and the victory that conquers the world is our faith. The word of the Lord. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. O God, with your judgment endow the king, and with your justice the king's son. He shall govern your people with justice, and your afflicted ones with judgment. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. From fraud and violence he shall redeem them, and precious shall their blood be in his sight. May they be prayed for continually, day by day shall they bless him. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. May his name be blessed forever, as long as the Son his name shall remain. In him shall all the tribes of the earth be blessed, all the nations shall proclaim his happiness. Lord, every nation on earth will adore you. Alleluia, alleluia. The Lord has sent me to bring glad tidings of the poor and to proclaim liberty to the captives. Alleluia, alleluia. A reading from the Holy Gospel according to Luke. Jesus returned to Galilee in the power of the Spirit. The news of him spread throughout the whole region. He taught in their synagogues and was praised by all. He came to Nazareth, where he had grown up, and went according to his custom into the synagogue on a Sabbath day. He stood up to read and was handed the scroll of the prophet Isaiah. He unrolled the scroll and found the passage where it was written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he has anointed me to bring glad tidings to the poor. He has sent me to proclaim liberty to the captives and recovery of the sight to the blind, to the oppressed, to let the oppressed go free, and to proclaim a year acceptable to the Lord." Rolling up the scroll, he handed it back to the attendant and sat down. And the eyes of all the synagogue looked intently on him. He said to them, "Today this scripture passage is fulfilled in your hearing." And all spoke highly of him and were amazed at the gracious words that came out of his mouth. The Gospel of the Lord. And the second reading from the Office of Reading is from a commentary on the Gospel of John by St. Cyril of Alexandria, a bishop. In a plan surpassing beauty, the Creator of the universe decreed the renewal of all things in Christ. In his design for restoring human nature to its original condition, he gave a promise that he would pour out on it the Holy Spirit along with all its other gifts. For otherwise, our nature could not enter once more into a peaceful and secure possession of those gifts. He therefore appointed a time for the Holy Spirit to come upon us. This was the time of Christ's coming. He gave this promise when he said, in those days, that is, the days of the Savior, I will pour out a share of my Spirit upon all mankind. When the time came for this great act of enforced generosity, which revealed in our midst the only begotten Son, clothed with flesh on this earth, a man born of a woman, in accordance with Holy Scripture, God the Father gave the Spirit once again. Christ, as the first fruits of our restored nature, was the first to receive the Spirit. John the Baptist bore witness to this when he said, I saw the Spirit coming down from heaven, and it rested on him. Christ received the Spirit, insofar as he was a man, and insofar as man could receive the Spirit. He did so in such a way, though he is the Son of God the Father, begotten of his substance, even before the incarnation, indeed before all ages, yet he was not offended at hearing the Father say to him, after he had become man, You are my Son, today I have begotten you. The Father says of Christ, who is and was God, begotten before him in before all ages, that he has been begotten today. For the Father is to accept us in Christ as his adopted children. The whole of our nature is present in Christ, insofar as he is man. So the Father can be said to give the Spirit again to the Son, through the Son possess the Spirit of his own, though the Son possesses the Spirit of his own, in order that we may receive the Spirit in Christ. The Son therefore took himself the seed of Abraham, as the Scripture says, and became like his brothers in all things. The only begotten Son receives the Spirit, but not for his own advantage, but for the Spirit is his, and is given in him and through him, as we have already said. He receives it to renew our nature in its entirety and to make it whole again. For in becoming man, he took our entire nature to himself. If we reason correctly, we shall also use the testimony of Scripture. We can see that Christ did not receive the Spirit for himself, but rather for us in him. For it is also through Christ that all gifts come down to us. Now, today's readings highlight the grace of God in our lives and how it actually benefits us that he became a human person. Just taking from the commentary on the Gospel of St. John, we note that St. Cyril basically pointed out that it was because Jesus Christ, who was the eternal God from eternity, became revealed as a human person clothed with flesh on this earth, a man born of a woman in accordance to the Holy Scriptures, that we ourselves can receive a blessing from God. This is what the Spirit of the Lord coming upon Jesus Christ was all about at his baptism, and why Jesus talks about his anointing in the gospel reading, where he's able to proclaim liberty to the captives, basically proclaiming the gospel to all. And the reason why, as St. Cyril points out, as one of the early church fathers, one of the patriarchs of the church, is that it was for our benefit, because we, in Christ, receive that baptism ourselves. This is the whole point of baptism in the flesh, as we receive it through the gift of the Holy Spirit being imparted to us in baptism. A lot of people misunderstand this giving of the Holy Spirit because they're looking for a manifestation that is supernatural. You go around Protestant circles, they talk about speaking in other tongues, or charismatic circles within the church, they speak in other tongues and have visions and all this other stuff. And while those are still active and they're in the church, they're not the main emphasis that we are to be pursuing when we are looking at the things that God does for us. What we are to be looking for is how our lives are changed and how we receive the love of God and are able to love one another. And that takes us back to the first reading. In the first reading, you'll recall that we are told that we love God because he first loved us. And this is kind of a reminder that he loved us so much that he died for us before we were even right. And this is showing us an example of how we are to love one another. As Jesus said in the Gospel of John, he pointed out that he was going to die and give himself up for one another. And there's no greater love that one man can have for another except to die in their place, to take a sacrificial death. And this is what Jesus did for us, to show us the greatest love possible. And then he passes that love down onto us, where we're to be giving it out. And a lot of people have struggles with this, and it's probably one of the greatest struggles people have in this life, is actually living out the commandment of love. I remember a friend not too long ago was complaining about somebody breaking into their vehicle and stealing some of their personal effects out, and then wanting to basically to kind of take a page out of the book of one of the Gospels, have fire rain down upon them in total judgment. We've all been there. We've all wanted somebody to really be hurt when we were hurt, when we ourselves experience loss. But that's not the Christian way. That's not what the Gospel teaches us to do. We're supposed to be loving people even when there's no reason for us to love them. That's the message of why the rain falls on the just and the unjust, and the sun shines on the just and the unjust, and we should also be perfect like our Heavenly Father is perfect. As Jesus tried to tell us in the fifth chapter of Matthew's Gospel when he was given his Sermon on the Mount. And it's a very huge principle. It's something that even Stephen learned when he was being stoned, because he basically forgave his stoners, taking a page out of the Gospels themselves, where Jesus from the cross said, "Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they do." And this is the whole point of the Gospel, is that we love those even if they are unloving. If you find somebody that really annoys you, that's the person you need to love, because that's how God's love manifests in our lives. And it's part of the whole being able to say that you love God. As we're told in the Scripture, especially from 1 John, that first reading we had today, no one can say that they love God if they hate someone else. Because basically, how can you not love somebody that you see if you claim to love somebody you don't see? I mean, there's the big problem there. It's that I love somebody that's not in my presence, but I'm not going to love you because you're also in their presence. And we get this very unique wording that comes out in the next part of the reading, where it basically says this: everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. Let that sink in. You're begotten of God if you believe the gospel message. So, okay, we're going to let that sink in, moving on. And everyone who loves the Father loves also the one begotten by him. Now, most people understand the one begotten by him as being Jesus Christ, which is a real easy and probably the most common answer to this. But I think that if we go back and look at the first part of that particular statement, it tells you that everyone who believes that Jesus is the Christ is begotten of God. So every individual Christian begotten of God, adopted as a child, is someone you're supposed to love. Let that sink in for a minute. Okay, do we love them because they love us, or do we love them because God loves them and because God died for them? Whether or not we think they're worth a pound of salt doesn't mean that we reject them out of hand. We're supposed to love them. We're supposed to find a way to continue God's love, because this is how we know that we love God and obey his commandments. That we love the children of God. There's the plural, showing you that it's not just Jesus Christ that's talking about, but it's talking about you and me. You may be annoyed at me from time to time because I'm not a perfect person, or I may be annoyed at something that you do from time to time because you're also not a perfect person. We're not in heaven yet. That glorification stage does not happen until we die and go get raised again and stand before our Lord and Maker and truly experience what the whole joy of heaven is. But even now, what this basically means is we must love one another. If I were ever to meet you and I wasn't able to treat you right as a true Christian, you could have a justifiable reason to say, "Hey, that guy's an SOB or a so-and-so or whatever."
And that would be the truth. And many people walk away from the church because there are many hypocrites in the church that expect something for themselves but don't do anything for others. I mean, we have great causes with our great societies within the church, whether it be the Knights of Columbus, St. Vincent de Paul, the Daughters of Isabel, and a whole bunch of other groups within the church that are supposed to be reaching out and being loving and showing the love of God one for another. And yet, we get into these problems to where we're too judgmental. Like my friend whose car got broken into that didn't understand that they needed to love that person. Because we're supposed to pray for those who persecute us and despitefully use us, who use us wrongly, who use us as a means to their own end, but don't use us as a means of loving God. And that's something very important and vital and crucial that we need to be aware of. We need to live our lives in such a way that we're showing the love of God to people like that, not seeking them to be put in jail or destroyed. We pray for their salvation. Now, if God decides that they must go to jail in order to truly repent and understand that they needed to work in love toward you, that's one thing. But if he doesn't, move on. Leave it in God's hands. He's a greater judge of everybody's sins and sinfulness than you or I. In fact, one of the reasons why the church does not condone capital punishment as a punishment for sins is because they leave the vengeance up to God, not to the individual. Because he's the one that can mete out the right, proper punishment. We're supposed to be acting in love. We're supposed to be seeking mercy. If someone takes that mercy, throws it into a wastebasket like a piece of paper, that's on them. That's not on us. We have our part. They have their part. If they don't live right, that's on them. But we have to love one another, all the children of God, because that's how we show that we truly love God. Because if we truly love God, we will keep his commandments, and his commandments won't be burdensome. And this is how we overcome the world. This is how we overcome sinfulness. This is how we overcome the bad testimonies and actually conquers the world. Because we have this faith that is a faith of love, loving one another. Now, I know that's real hard for some people to happen, to really get into. I mean, I can think of a friend of mine that was really put through the ringer by a certain priest that was really not acting out his calling properly. And unfortunately, because of this person almost left the church and was really hurt by the church in a lot of ways. And I can think of many other people that I've met over the years, especially when I was in Protestantism, who because of an individual, whether it be a priest, a deacon, a sister, or some other person within the church community that did not treat them properly, that they left the church considering Catholicism to be a false religion and not really understanding the love of God. In fact, I would pretty much dare to say that in any congregation that you go to, whether it's Baptist, Presbyterian, or even Catholic, or any other denomination or religion, there are going to be some really good people that'll be wholesome treating you like they're supposed to. And then you'll have a few of them that'll be all about themselves and be treating you wrong. I could tell you stories from my time in Protestantism where I was an assistant pastor and evangelist during a couple years of my 20s and 30s, where I met different people of different ilk that weren't completely right. In fact, I can remember one time going to a church where I'm supposed to be preaching the Sunday morning message, and there was a Saturday evening service when I got there, and I had to take over the Saturday evening service because the pastor himself was stone cold drunk when I met him at his house. And told that there was a Saturday night meeting. I've been to churches where once the offering was taken up, I got $35 and they got a couple thousand. So that was pretty much how that all kind of went. Just enough for the gas tank and a ride home. Happy, good luck, have a good day. Pretty much is how they treated it. I mean, and that happens even in the church. I've had situations with people in the church where I've been maligned in certain ways. But does that mean that I give up on Christ? Do I give up on Catholicism? No. It just basically means that I have to act in the love of God and trust that
His righteousness will overcome all this evil, because that's how it is. Our God will endow the king with justice, and he will govern his people with justice, and all the afflicted ones will experience the judgment of God, meaning that they'll be set right, will be redeemed from fraud and violence, as the response psalm goes on. But this is the whole thing. We receive the Holy Spirit, the love of God, shed abroad in our hearts, as Romans 5 points out, because Jesus Christ became a man. He restored our human nature to its original condition, and he received the Holy Spirit unto himself, so that we who abide in him as a branch on the vine can receive the Holy Spirit as well. This is the witness that has gone forth from the time of the apostles unto now. Now, many of us don't understand the connection because we've had such poor education on these matters. I mean, I can remember a lot of the religious textbooks from the 70s and 80s when I was in grade school and going into high school that I read that never really touched upon the real purpose of baptism. It was always, well, baptism is one of the seven sacraments, blah, blah, blah. And then you're supposed to love everybody. Yeah, okay, how? And kind of give you kind of a generic message without really going deeper. And you can kind of see these messages even in the old Baltimore catechisms, and you can see how a partial gospel never gives you the full truth. And this is why a lot of people walk away from the faith, is because they find hypocrites in the church, they find people that are dead to what God has going on, and don't really understand things. They don't understand the fullness of the Mass and how that's Christ coming man in front of you, where he's being incarnated one more time in bread and wine, and how special it is to actually go forward and be able to receive communion without having mortal sin and being able to receive God into you in a very intimate way, because that's what the Mass is all about. I'm always amazed at people that when they leave a church service, they tell you, well, I can't go back there because I wasn't fed, especially when it's a Catholic Mass and I saw them go forward for communion, because I wonder, what is it that you received in communion that was so empty, that was so worthless? It was like you didn't even perceive what was going on. But you see, these are the things that the Holy Spirit brings to us. If we truly understand that the time of Christ's coming is when we really get the appointed time for the Holy Spirit to come upon us in this day and age, that we are getting a visit by God every time we go to Mass, every time we pray, every time we do a good deed, that is what the blessing is. So these are the things that we need to have in mind as we go through our days and recognize that Christ is begotten today, not because he's begotten as a human person all over again 1,000th millionth time, but because we ourselves as adopted children are incorporated into Christ, and in him we become the begotten children of God, in whom he is well pleased. Children that we should love each other, even if they are the most ugliest of sinners that we can imagine. Probably the most sickest of the sick in one guy's phraseology, that we need to be able to understand this commandment, because whoever loves God must also love his brother, because his brother is in Christ. And this is how we know the truth of who we are, because if we can't stand united in love, we don't have Christ, we don't understand the gospel, and we don't understand the truth. And this is very important for us to realize, to recognize, and to take with us into the world today. So hopefully this blesses you and gives you something to think about as you go through your day today and experience all the blessings of this Thursday after the Epiphany, as we prepare for the baptism of the Lord and getting back into normal times. And those normal times will begin starting Sunday again, when we go back into an ordinary season. As Christmas closes, we get the closing messages of the incarnation and how it benefits us and shows us how we are to love each other who are also brought into this incarnation event and really live out the gospel the way that we ought. Because that's how we go into the world and change it and overcome it. We're not people who are going to be defeated. Peter was told by Jesus that his church will prevail against the gates of hell. We're not being assaulted. We're not being crushed. We are the prevailers. If you go back to the very dream or vision that Daniel had, where a four-square stone was cut out and cast down to earth to demolish the image of the beast or the man and swallow up the entire world, it's because the gospel goes forth into all the earth. It will accomplish what God has designed for it. The church will spread throughout the entire world. It may be in some kind of defeat mode in some sense, but it's only because it doesn't realize that it is the conqueror. Our faith is what overcomes the world. And that's where we need to be focused on. The church may be dwindling from your perspective, but God's adding to it every day. We just don't see it because we don't understand how he's adding to it. And a lot of times it diminishes because people are being shaken out of the tree because they aren't necessarily of us. They aren't really living out the gospel the way that they should. I think the current scandal with all the pedophile priests is a great test of the church to really make sure that we truly love God and are not just going for man. And to realize that when we truly do love men who are truly as sick and depraved as those who take advantage of little children and not cast them completely out, but allow them the chance to reform and find eternal life with God, that's when we truly show that we overcome the world, because we overcome the darkest sins. The church went through many periods of great bloodbaths of martyrdom, especially in the early church. I think there were 10 major persecutions between the time of the day of Pentecost and right when Caesar took it upon himself, Constantine issued the Edict of Milan to end the persecutions for good. Well, not for good. There was another one shortly thereafter, but it was still abated to where there was a correction. And if we truly understand that, and we truly understand that we're not going through something that's unusual, there's been times of ebb and flow throughout the church. Times of high piety and times where there were low pieties with Borgia popes and schisms and reformations that didn't quite go correctly. But as we learn to truly love one another, we can truly be one as he and the Father are one, as he prayed for in John chapter 17 in his high priestly prayer, and truly get into this understanding that if we love one another, we'll show the love of God that's shed abroad in our hearts and truly be more than conquerors through him who loves us. So hopefully this blesses you today, gives you some new perspective on the gospel, and allows you to really experience the fullness of the Christmas season, with the nativity being a real live event that impacts your life today and anoints you so that you too can proclaim liberty to the captives, liberty to those bound by sin, and set them free so they don't have to be what they were. They can be children of God, adopted, and loving us just as we love them. Because when we do, then you really will have a very blessed day.